Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly, continue to use you greatly in the work of God at this end time, and also each one of us. It is a great blessing and privilege for me to be with you here in Valparaíso, Chile. It had been about 20 years or more since I last came here, but now we are here again. And in this way, we'll have fellowship around the Word of God and all the work that God is carrying out in this dispensation of the kingdom, aware that the dispensation of the law was for the Hebrew people as a nation, the dispensation of grace for Gentiles, and also for Hebrews as individuals, and the dispensation of the kingdom is for Gentiles and Hebrews as a nation. For this occasion, our subject is the day of the Son of Man and the works He will do in His coming, of which we will read the portion corresponding to this subject in Luke chapter 17. Verse 20 and on, where it tells us, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lightened out of one part under heaven, and he writes east dash west, shineth unto the other part under heaven, and he writes west and east, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And he draws a cornerstone and writes, The eighth day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And he writes, Noah, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, and rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. And he writes, Lot. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And he draws a Star of David on the right. The day of the Son of Man and the works he will do in his coming. You may please be seated. This message was the introduction. This was on Friday, August 21st, 2015. And it was the introduction to the same subject, which he preached on Sunday, August 23rd. And in 2018, he made an introduction on Friday, April 27, 2018. In that year, he was already getting better. And that message was played that day. That message. And notice what he tells us there. By the works that the Son of Man will be doing in his coming, we will know his coming, and we will enjoy the works he will be doing, which are the promises of God for the last day. Now notice, in that year, notice, there then, at the beginning of 2019, he said goodbye. And on March 30th, he departed. And we would think, but how will we enjoy the works that the Lord, the Son of Man, will do in His coming? Or what happened with what had already been done? Then, what works among the work of the Son of Man in His coming we will enjoy then? Now notice, He was already there pointing to that work that would be carried out. That is, the work of the Son of Man with His angels in His claiming work. It says, we will enjoy the works He will be doing, which are the promises of God for the last day, which the Son of Man will carry out, materialized, crystallized in His coming. On page 5A of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 49, he tells us, and that's why these things are doing. The Holy Spirit coming into the earth in the great fullness of its being. There He draws a cornerstone on the right to gather up the children from the four corners of the earth to get ready for the rapture. What does the Holy Spirit come for? To prepare the church bride for the rapture. And look, he writes in a Bible study where they put that quote, he writes, the 10th cathedral. In other words, it is in the midst of the fulfillment of the 10th vision that the Reverend William Branham saw, where he saw that pillar of fire speaking to someone above him. And that was, there he was seeing the manifestation of the Son of Man being manifested among the earth in the midst of the church bride to give the elect the rapturing faith. And on top, notice, he writes, or below he writes, Matthew 24:30-31. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. In other words, Moses and Elijah were the ministries that God was going to send. That is, the Holy Spirit was going to operate those ministries in the midst of the church to give the elect the rapturing faith. And above he writes, the Holy Spirit with the ministry of Moses and Elijah. The Holy Spirit is the Lord in His coming. Now, notice in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 101, which in the 70 weeks of Daniel is page 13, paragraph 67, where he says, it's laying back in that condition. And that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that that thing was done. And at these last days is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. And He draws a Star of David there on the left. He hasn't done it before. And the reason He hasn't done it is to keep the church a watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember, in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last day. See? It's been given to him. And he draws Star of David to the right. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And there an arrow towards the cornerstone on the right, and the ages, bringing the church in and revealing that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in these last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? And there on the left, towards the top, in two sentences, he writes, Gabriel equals came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit equals comes to the church. Now notice, back then the Holy Spirit came to the Virgin Mary and brought her those good tidings. But then we see the Holy Spirit in the forerun, in Jesus. That is, the fullness of the Holy Spirit came back then. The Word, the Logos. Now, he continues to say here, it is important to know that the Son of Man is a subject of utmost importance to Christianity and to Judaism, because both people are waiting for the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Now remember that the seventh angel messenger, God reflected in him what the seventh dispensational angel messenger would be. Now notice in the Book of the Seals on page 98, or in the booklet, page 29, there he tells us. Now watch real close. This is something you must get. Now, he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercession for the believer. For 2,000 years he had been back there, a lamb. Now he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title deed book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. Did you get it? All right, we'll go on then. Now break the seals and release all the mysteries to them, to the seventh angel. And he writes on the left, to the seventh angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. And on the right, he writes, the seventh dispensational angel. The mysteries of God lays in these seven seals. See? That's what he said here. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He becomes a lion. There on the right, he writes, future. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. God had held it, the mystery, but now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. Now look, he writes there on the bottom, the seventh angel of the seventh age reflected what the seventh dispensational angel of the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the angel of Jesus, will do. And notice here, in this message, titled, Looking at the Unseen, on page 18, it tells us, now, do you believe that God is still the living God? Do you believe that we're living in the last days of the Gentiles' dispensation? And the churches are looking for Him to come? And do you believe He's getting them ready for His coming? The shadows of His coming. And he writes, the type, reflection, is cast upon the earth. Trouble, distress, perplexed of time. And the shadow of His coming is placed over His church. And these things that we do in His name are just a shadow of what He'll do when He comes. When we see a child laying there, dying with leukemia, straightened back to life in 5 minutes, that's a shadow of when He comes. The dust that's in the earth shall rise in the beauty of young again. Now notice, in His coming, speaks to us about the resurrection of those who have departed. This is just a shadow, but it's to make you know that He's coming. Let's break loose and lay aside every fetter now. Now, he keeps saying here, the angels of the Son of Man have to carry out a very important work with the Jews. Therefore, this is the most important subject of this end time, the day of the Son of Man and the works he will do in his coming. In the Book of the Seals on page 120 and in the booklet is page 4, he tells us, there on that page, he says, and now, oh, I hope someday that we can get through it all. Maybe before he comes. If we don't, we'll see it anyhow. So it doesn't matter. In other words, it didn't matter as much in that time. But it says, we'll see it anyhow. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. And on the right, he writes, future. And he writes, we will see everything in his coming. Now, remember that in the Book of Quotations, he showed us that he will present himself. In the introduction of this same message, but on Sunday, there, but it was on April 29th, 2018, that Sunday morning, he told us, it is very important to know which are the works that the Son of Man will be doing so that we are able to identify him. In order to identify him, we had to see what the Son of Man would be doing in his coming. And the Reverend William Branham told us that in his coming, he would be giving his elect the rapturing faith, and it would be under a teaching. And he focused everything on a great tent cathedral. That ministry of Moses and Elijah would be there. That is, the church bride would have the visit of those ministries, because he will be doing the works that will fulfill the promise of the coming of the Son of Man for his church and for all mankind. In the message, the second coming of the Lord, the Reverend William Branham tells us there on page 4, he says, now, we have different religions, and we have different motives and different theologies, but our Christian religion is based solemnly upon death, burial, and resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord. Oh, it's an important question. And as we are now approaching to my most sincere thoughts, we are living in the very shadows. And he writes types of his second coming. And below he writes, the shadow of the second coming of Christ being reflected in the seventh angel. There to my way of seeing it, by the light of the scripture, there is no one hope left for the church outside the second coming of the Lord. And there on top he writes, the only hope of the church, the second coming of the Lord. The world in its wild pandemonic condition has got completely out of control. Of every man-made organization in the world, kings cannot hold their subjects no more. Neither can dictators hold their subjects anymore. Democracy can't hold its subjects anymore. And there is no hope left but the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And it's now one of the most horrible times for the unbeliever and sinner that he has ever witnessed, because the doom time is close at hand. Imagine if that was back then in that time, that year, what is it like now that we are so close? And it's the most blessed time for the believer. Why? For his redemption is at hand. For the world, well, it's the most terrible time. But for the believer, given that he is closer to that promise, well, it's the most glorious time. There are two factions in the earth tonight, the believer and the unbeliever. The one that the Lord is coming to receive, that is one of the works of his coming. One that the Lord is coming to receive. Who? The believer. And the one the Lord is coming to condemn. At his coming, will bless one. There we see the one of the works will bless one and will curse the other at his appearing. In other words, he comes with blessing and he comes with the cursing. The blessing for the believer and the curse for the unbeliever. And he writes, appearing, coming, there on the right, upward. Now, he continues to say here, therefore, let us hear the subject that we have for today, Sunday, and may God open the scriptures to us and open our understanding so that we may comprehend the mystery of the coming of the Son of Man and the works he will be doing at the same time, which will identify him in this time in which we are living. Page 96 on the Book of Quotations. There he tells us on paragraph 832, which is a portion of the Book of the Seals, of the sixth seal. There he tells us, when them prophets had stood there, here in this version, this is from the first version, there around that decade of the 60s or the 70s. I'm going to read it to you. Perhaps it's not the same as yours. When the prophet had stood there and performed miracles, closed the sun and everything else, and all down through the age. See? They cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. See? To hide them from the word that they had laughed at, because they see him come. That is 441, right? Of the seals. Let us see. 400, so that I can share the reference. It's the portion of the Book of Quotations from page 441, in the middle. He goes on to say here on the portion 832, page 96 of the Book of Quotations, because they see him come, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the Word, see? They had laughed at the Word. They had mocked. They had laughed. And here the word was incarnate. And they had made fun of it, laughed at them, made fun of them. And the incarnate word had dropped forth. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. So they know that the punishment, they heard it. They had sat in meetings like this. In other words, many of them were in the activities. And from there in the activities, notice, they had heard what to them at that moment, that's not right, that isn't true. And then they came to scoff, to mock. So, if he is predicting that, it's a prediction. In other words, he is showing what they were going to do, so you have to see the equivalent at this time. There have to be people mocking, scoffing, criticizing. See, because if he spoke it, then that must be in fulfillment when the Son of Man would be manifested, when the Holy Spirit would be manifesting those ministries. And then there you can see the characters, see? Look how simple it is. There you have the scripture being fulfilled. Anyone who scoffs, who mocks the Son of Man at this time, is then there in the scripture. There is a scripture for that person. Now, what are those people going to receive? Nothing good. It says, they heard it. They had sat in meetings like this and knowed about it. And they know that the things of those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. That is, he was speaking to them to their faces, directly without filters, right at them. They tried to repent because they realized it. Notice, there comes a time when they realize it. Like Judas Iscariot, he realized that he had betrayed innocent blood. They tried to repent, but the Lamb had come to claim his own. What for? To claim the children of God, the elect of God. Know those mockers, those unbelievers. Now here in the book of quotations, he writes upward, he writes the tribulation. And he also writes, they heard in meetings like this. He wrote it upward on the right. And below, notice he writes, the plagues equals, they are preached in the seventh seal. And on top of that paragraph, he writes the claim, the word incarnate in Moses and Elijah. And in another line, he writes Moses and Elijah, earthquakes. And he continues to say here, and it will give the believers in Christ the faith to be transformed and raptured. To the believers in Christ, the elect of the mystical body of Christ, our Savior, written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. On page 11 of the message, the mighty God unveiled before us, he tells us, on paragraph 71 says, so God is the beginning, was life, the eternal one. In him was attributes, and those attributes became words, and the word became flesh. And there he draws Star of David on the right. Jesus was the Redeemer, and to redeem means to bring back. And if he has to bring it back, he had to be somewhere to be brought back to. So, you see, all people will never be able to see it, because all people wasn't in the beginning in God's thought. See? Not everyone was going to see it. Why? Because not everyone. Not all people were in God's thought. Not all people were attributes of God. Look at the priests. When they see him express himself exactly with the word, what he was, they said, it's Beelzebub. That showed where their nature was. The answer, when they saw Jesus' works, the answer was, that's Beelzebub. It was in the modern thought of that day. In other words, it was the latest, what's in, the what was trending. What's the word? Yeah, that was what was in at that moment, to say that Jesus was Beelzebub. It was in the modern thought of the day. But when the little prostitute that he met at the gate and told her, expressed his messianic sign by telling her what she had done, why, she said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. We know the Messiah, when he comes, he will tell us all these things. She was recognizing him as the Messiah, the Anointed One, because he met the Scripture's qualifications. And he drew a Star of David to the left. Don't you see it? The two pieces of the paper were coming together. How? In Jesus and in her. Jesus was the Word and she is Word. Well, they had to come together. The two Chinese pieces of paper, which is what he writes there. Or what he's referring to. He has been speaking about that. We know that when the Messiah cometh. It says, now he writes, things the Messiah will do when he returns. Now, God might have had to interpret this and that to get this certain thing of the bell, and he writes, the bell, like the molder. But when Jesus turned, said, I am he that speaks with you. In other words, he identified himself. Why did he identify himself to her? Notice, he identified himself to her because she was part of him. And he spoke to her face to face and told her who he was face to face. I am he that speaks with you. there was no such an expression as Beelzebub. In other words, she did not say Beelzebub, like it was trending at that time. She expressed herself and said, she left her water pot, ran into the city and said, come, see a man who told me the things that I have done. Isn't this the very Messiah? See? Now what did this? Putting the old scripture with the experience that Jesus was giving to her. What did it do? It made the Messiah. In other words, she took the scripture that the prophet spoke and she took the works of that scripture being quickened, being materialized, and the result was equals the Messiah. In other words, the result of she seeing that live prophecy was, behold, the one I was waiting for. This is the Messiah. This is the one I was desiring to see and to know. See? And did you notice? Quickly, her sins were forgiven. How? When she recognized the Messiah. Because at the beginning, she was redeemable. The priest and the high priest, none of them were redeemable. Because they did not come from the seventh dimension. They came from the fifth dimension. Because she was in God's thinking at the beginning. Oh, to know that you and I were in God's thinking from the beginning. That we were with Him from the beginning. Therefore, that makes us redeemable. See, we are redeemable. He already gave us the first portion in His first coming, and in His second coming, He will give us the second portion, the eternal and glorified body. So it redeemed her, or brought her back, when she seen the expressed scripture manifested, when she saw the scriptures of the prophets who had spoken inspired by God, who spoke about the coming of the Messiah. When she saw that, said, it redeemed her, or brought her back, when she seen the expressed scripture manifested of Jehovah, what He was, what He is. And He writes there, she was redeemed upon seeing the Word made flesh. One would say, I was redeemed when I saw the Word made flesh in His first coming. And I will be transformed because I have seen the Word made flesh at this end time. And that is an assurance that God has given us, because we are redeemable. And that was at the first coming of the Lord. And He gave us that theophanic body upon believing in Him. And in His second coming, He will give us the eternal and glorified body by believing in the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels. Now notice, here on page 445 on the Book of the Seals, He tells us something there as well about this woman. And He tells us, this same pillar of fire coming upon Paul on the road to Damascus, he wrote many books of the Bible called the Word of God. And now, Lord, that same pillar of fire, by the evidence of the proof of the Word and by the scientific research, we see it here revealing the Word of God. God, let the people be quickly awakened, Lord, quickly. Those who have their names put on the Book of Life, when this flashes across their path, may they see, like the little ill-famed woman at the well that day. She recognized quickly, and she knew it was the Scripture. See how He compares us with her? Let your people, Lord, be quickly awakened, and may they see the way she saw. And He writes there, on the right, the fulfillment. And He draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in the previous paragraph, He writes, on the right, pillar of fire, the Logos. This is the most important subject for this end time, of the things that will happen in this last day. The day of the Son of Man, and the works He will do in His coming. It's been a great privilege for me to be with you, making known to you the works that he would do in his coming, which among those works is giving us that rapturing and transformation faith and taking us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is the blessing for the elect, and for the unbelievers, the curse. Let us stand, and we can sing a song. I'm not sure if we can sing My Claimer, because in His coming, He comes to claim. In His second coming, He comes to claim. To claim what He redeemed in His first coming. My Claimer. Let us sing that song. Because of your love. It's because of your love that I am worthy of you. And not because each one of us wanted it. No. It's because of His grace, His mercy. And because we have come from Him. We are one of His thoughts, an attribute of Him. Now, the Reverend William Branham said that, and when he spoke about the faith that the elect have, he says that that faith can also be used for your family members. And look, he says something very important here, which we must not overlook. On page 112, on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 984, look, he says, here is what you want to believe for. You want your own safety. You believe for your safety. And then apply the token for the whole family. You say, how can I do that? Claim it. He's already telling you, how can I do it, Lord? But if he's lost, but if he's doing this, he's doing that. He's not telling you to grab him by the hair and bring him in. He's telling you to claim him. Claim him. If it work on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen. It work for both of you. You and the Word are one. Then, apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones. Like Rahab did. She applied the token to her father. She applied it to her mother. She applied it to her brothers and sisters. And got them all in under the sun. Under the token that she had. Under the token you have. That you can shelter them. You apply it, say, Lord, I am going after my son. I am going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token. Blessed be the Lord forever. Believe it. Believe it with all your heart and say, Lord, I claim my entire family. May none be left out. I want him with me in eternity, to live with me eternally in your kingdom. I claim him today, Lord. Hear me and work in the life of that family member of mine. I claim him, Lord. Say it, I claim him. I claim my family. I claim my entire family. I claim it and place it under my token. Amen. My claimer. To claim one's family. He wrote there above. Amen.
He orado y he sido tenido por digno de escapar.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
De todos los juicios divinos que a la tierra caerán. He orado y he sido tenido por digno de estar en bien delante del Hijo del Hombre en esta edad de piedra angular. Mis ojos han visto tu gloria, hermosura y tu deidad, y en tu presencia me gozo tu rostro contemplar. Mi alma, espíritu, cuerpo en tus manos hoy está. Mi fe es anclada en tu voz, tu mensaje y tu verdad. Mi José,
because of your love, because of your great love, let's leave with us our beloved brother and friend with this subject, the day of the Son of Man and the works he will do in his coming, Dr. William Soto Santiago.